Hello and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of February 27th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and feverish Melissa Hansen.
This is true. Second time in like 3 weeks that I'm recording
the
podcast.
You're sick, you're well. Was it the Oscars that made you sick?
It could be. I have Oscar fever.
Nobody has Oscar fever.
No.
That's impossible. The Oscars just ended and we're getting ready to talk about them, so we might as well
and forget everything that happened. God.
No, see, but that wouldn't help. It just does not solve the problem that this show continues to be one of the most boring things on earth.
No, I still think they should have had the Muppets host.
But the Muppets little bit didn't go over all
it
that
did.
Well.
You're right.
So you just want to run down the winners really quick?
Yeah, we can look at that. And then if you want to look at two, because last night was the Independent Spirit Awards.
Yep. You know, that's a good idea. Let's start with the Independent Spirit Awards and we'll just compare and contrast from there.
Yeah.
So Seth Rogen hosted down at the beach down here in Santa Monica, right next to the Cirque du Soleil, which was doing a show. There's a lot of active things going on down here. Best Picture goes to The Artist.
Which was famous.
The Oscars. Best Director, Michelle H for The Artist.
There you go.
Right? So same thing as the Oscars. Mm-hmm. Spirit Awards do some interesting things. They honor filmmakers who are just starting out.
Yeah, it's not as crazy as like the MTV Movie Awards, but they're more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Best First Feature went to Margin Call, which was a direct-to-DVD movie starring Kevin Spacey and Demi Moore, which we reviewed on DVD Verdict. You can take a look at that. The John Cassavetes Award went to Pariah, which is another small film that did not get a lot of Oscar consideration. Best Screenplay went to Descendants.
Which was the same as the Academy Awards.
Yes, and it's interesting because the Academy Awards was set up into original screenplay and adapted screenplay.
Yeah, you're right.
So Descendants won adapted screenplay, and Woody Allen won original screenplay for Midnight in Paris. Best First Screenplay went to Will Reiser, who is Seth Rogen's friend for 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Best Female Actress went to Michelle Williams for My Week with Marilyn.
Really? I saw it. She was lovely in it, but I don't think it was an amazing performance. It was good. It was not amazing at all.
Now, granted, the competition for this category is different than the Oscars.
Right,
but
which is
up against Elizabeth Olsen for Marcy May Marlene.
Right.
I think that's a mistake.
Yeah.
I think that's more of a let's honor her for playing Marilyn Monroe than the actual performance
itself. Absolutely. I think that's why she got nominated for Academy Award. I think if it were just a no-name actress during
playing
that time period, she was playing. No, I'm saying if she wasn't playing Marilyn, she was just playing a movie star during that time period. No one would have looked twice at this. It would have been like, oh, that was nice.
Right.
Yeah, compare that to Meryl Streep playing a real person.
Right, and doing incredibly well. All right, so Meryl Streep wins Best Actress.
In the Academy Awards.
In the Academy Awards.
Which
for The Iron Lady.
My first response, I was tweeting for DVD Verdict, and I wrote it, and then I deleted it, because my first response is full of swear words, so I wouldn't put it on my personal page, because Viola Davis was robbed.
Yeah, I have to agree. Now, I loved Meryl Streep in The Iron Lady.
Not saying she wasn't good.
She's fantastic. She hit all the beats from young Maggie Thatcher through the ancient Alzheimer-ish, Margaret Thatcher. She did a fantastic job.
Not saying she wasn't great.
But that said,
Viola's.
Yeah, I think so.
That was Viola's award.
I agree. And Meryl got up there and said, she honored the fact that most Americans were sitting there, going, oh my God, why Meryl Streep again?
Right.
How many times is she going to win? So, I mean, she's aware of the situation. She knows it's not of her own doing that the Academy loves her, but.
Yeah, and I like Meryl Streep. I have nothing against her. This should have gone to Viola Davis.
Right.
Period.
All right. Moving on. Best Actor goes to Jean. Oh, my God. Why did I?
You can't speak French.
I can. I took French in high school. Well, I only took 1 year. Jean Dujardin for The Artist. Are you having problems coughing or are you laughing?
I'm coughing.
Okay. And it was interesting in this category because he was up against Ryan Gosling in Drive for the Spirit Awards.
Ryan Gosling could have won for any, what was it, three big
pictures?
He did
three pictures.
He could have won for any three of them. And it stinks he wasn't nominated Academy Award-wise for them.
Right.
But
Best Supporting Female. Now, this is an interesting category.
Yes.
Shailene Woodley for The Descendants, which we both loved her in that
movie.
She
was great. Everybody was great in that. But she was. She was excellent.
She
for a young actress.
Yeah. Playing opposite George Clooney.
To hold her own against him and everybody else in the movie.
Yeah.
She rocked it.
Supporting actress for the Oscars went to Octavia Spencer.
Yes, as it should have.
Who gave an incredibly emotional speech and was overwhelmed by the standing ovation that she got.
Which she deserved.
She deserved. Yeah. The interesting thing, again, about this category is for the Spirit Awards, Jessica Chastain, not for The Help, but for Take Shelter, which was the Michael Shannon movie. And Angelica Houston for 50-50, which Patrick Nagle said it would be a crime if she, Angelica Houston didn't get nominated for an Oscar because of
there were quite a few crimes this year of that nomination.
But she got nominated over here. Best Supporting Actor, Christopher Plummer for Beginners.
Yes.
Here in the Spirit Awards and at the Oscars.
But what the Spirit Awards did, Albert Brooks for Drive, they nominated him. And the frickin' Academy Awards should have, too.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Very much agreed. I spent the whole time he was on screen going, but that's Albert Brooks. And I know I said that when we reviewed it, but he should have been nominated.
Yeah. And Christopher Plummer, this was a body of work award. He had never won an Academy Award before.
Right.
Very well deserving because he had an incredible career. So I can't argue with that.
Who just kept him on trap?
I know.
He can do whatever he wants. He deserves everything he gets.
I know. We won't go through the technical awards here. But we will talk about one thing. Best Foreign Film for the Spirit Awards was A Separation, which also won Best Foreign Film for the Oscars. Yeah. And it was interesting the way they staged the Oscars this year because all of the smaller technical awards seemed to be first.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to...
They switched the order of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Best Animated Feature went to Rango, which was Gore Verbinski and Johnny Depp, which was well-deserving. What other things about the Oscars did or did you not like this year?
You know, at the beginning, we know what to expect from Billy Crystal. He's going to do the funny clips, like he did the funny clips, put himself in the movies,
montage, right?
Which I like. I'm sorry, I like. I know the people
they nailed it. They nailed it once again. It was very smart.
He's going to do a song with like the titles, but we know what we're going to get.
Yeah,
and we know it going into it, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then, in my mind, it just kind of trailed from there.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed that Billy Crystal was much more involved as a presenter, as a host, than previous hosts have been in recent years.
Right. And just in general in award shows. You have a host, but they do the opening monologue, and they're gone for half the show.
Right.
Yeah, he was on, I think, much more than, say, Ricky Gervais in the Golden Globes.
Right, or even James Franco and Anne Hathaway last year. Right. Because there just seemed to be a hell of a lot of voiceover narration, which we didn't get this year.
What I think we should do. Do some opening number.
Yeah.
And then just have John Hodgman reading it off from behind the scenes. They've done stuff like that before.
Yeah,
have him reading it off behind the scenes. We don't need a host.
They have. Hugo cleaned up on the technical awards.
Yeah.
The Artist won, I think, 5 total. Or 5 with Best Picture. So there weren't any big surprises. I think Meryl Streep was the biggest surprise of the night.
Yeah, I think it was. That was shocking.
Yeah. And
which is weird that Meryl Streep winning an Oscar is shocking.
Yeah, right.
You know, Meryl Streep winning anything, like that's usually the safe bet. But yeah, I think the odds had it on Viola.
And there weren't any weird moments. They did some of those montage clips where Why We Love Movies, which seems so pretentious and self-congratulatory.
Oh. Yeah, that was
talking heads.
Painful.
Although I do have to say that Christopher Guest short.
Yeah, that was cute.
Was cute.
Yeah, it was like if they had
focus groups.
Focus groups, thank you. The fever is melting my brain. If they had focus groups
for the Wizard of Oz.
At the Wizard of Oz during that time period, like today, everything's shown to focus group and they change endings and they change all kinds of stuff in movies.
Yeah.
Based on what stupid people say.
Yeah.
If they had it and it was them, it was all of Christopher Guest's playmates from his movies, like ripping apart Wizard of Oz.
Right. So that 4-minute short was better than the entire feature length version of his 4-year consideration film, which I didn't find all that funny at all.
Yeah.
If you're going to be checking out YouTube for any red carpet footage, the only thing you're going to want to seek out is the ABC interview with Nick Nolte. Oh. It was bizarre thing I've ever seen.
It doesn't even look like Nick Nolte.
Well, and it seemed like he was on another planet because she was asking them these questions and he had no idea what she was talking about.
Yeah, he was like crazy.
Yeah.
Plus he just like, he was all sunburned and then he had like just white
Santa
hair,
Claus
white beard.
Yeah.
Like, he was just kind of creepy looking and creepy sounding. I don't know what happened.
Okay. And anyways, we don't have to worry about the Oscars again for another year.
Oh, thank you.
So,
can we make this like every decade instead of every year?
You know what? I think that would not be a bad idea because it's just overkill.
Yeah.
So anyways, back to reality and let's look at what's been going on in the box office this past week.
The box office. Act of Valor.
Which we talked about.
you know, active duty Navy SEALs.
But it's a fictional script.
It's a fictional script, yeah. But it's just the actors are actual Navy SEALs playing Navy SEALs.
Right. But it cleaned up this week.
Yeah.
But again,
yeah.
We're still at that $20 million level as a top.
Yeah, we're still kind of low. We had jumped up to 40 recently, and now we're back down. So it was like almost 25. And then Good Deeds,
which is the Tyler Perry. Yeah.
Not playing dressed up as a woman.
Right.
Only got him 16. If he'd been dressed up as a woman, it probably would have been 40. But Journey 2 came in third.
All right.
With $13.5 million. Safe House with $11.5 million. So not too exciting.
No, the other two movies that were new this week wound up at the bottom of the list, which was the Paul Rudd, Jennifer Aniston comedy Wanderlust.
Yeah, well, bottom of the top 10, not like bottom of everything.
But that's what I mean. Compared to Act of Valor, they made like less than a third of
right, Wanderlust made not even $7 million.
Right, and Gone, which was the Amanda Seyfried thriller.
Right, it was only $5
million. Right, so coming this next week, we've got, well, four movies, two big ones, two small ones. Project X, which has gotten a lot of buzz. It's produced by The Hangover's Todd Phillips.
Yeah.
And it's three high school kids who throw this party, this
house party
that gets completely out of control. Like, they're burning down the neighborhood, and the National Guard gets called in. Yeah. It's just weird stuff.
It just looks really, really excellent there.
Yeah, but it just seems to be catching fire on the internet.
Yeah, you know? That's just that.
So we'll see. The Lorax...
Talk about sad.
Bastardization of this classic Dr. Seuss tale with Danny DeVito as the Lorax and Ed Helms as the Onceler. And an all-star cast of people who characters weren't even in the book.
Right, because that's like the cartoon version is whatever, 15 minutes long or something. You had to stretch it out. And so you have Zac Efron in it to pull all the older kids in. But the best thing about the Lorax was the premiere.
That's right.
On the red carpet, Zac Efron, like good boy Zac Efron, pulls something out of his pocket to hand to someone, and a condom goes flying out and onto the red carpet.
So I guess you plan to get lucky when you at a movie premiere when for The Lorax.
Right. A cartoon. Like,
I'm the star of The Lorax, eh? You want to get laid?
Exactly.
Okay.
And who was at that premiere?
We should go down that list. No, we're not going to spend time going down that list to try and figure it out. You can connect those dots on your own.
Yeah.
Foreign film, Bel Ami, which is Robert Pattinson plays this young Lothario who's wooing the rich and powerful women of Paris, including Kristen Scott Thomas and Uma Thurman and Christina Ricci. And if you're an Adult Swim fan and like Tim and Eric's Super Show or whatever the heck that's called, but Tim and Eric's billion-dollar movie is opening this week as well.
Right, in limited release.
Right. Switching over to DVD and Blu-ray over at DVD Verdict. Click on the upcoming releases tab for February 28th. And let's see what we find.
Not too much, to be honest.
It's a mix of...
There's The Angry Beavers, Nickelodeon cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
From a while ago. Season 3.
Big release, Hugo. So if you didn't get to see it in the movie, there's all three versions. The 3D Blu-ray, the Blu-ray, and the DVD are available this week.
What is this? It's called I Melt With You, but I don't think it's about my high school dances. But it's Thomas Jane and Rob Lowe.
It is. And Russ Engebretson, who is reviewing it for us, told me today how surprised he is how much he liked it.
Excellent.
So that could be a sleeper.
Midsummer Murders, the latest set of that, which if you're into British crime, that's a pretty famous one.
Yeah.
And then speaking of British television, Top Gear 17.
Yes, which I have not seen. I don't think I've seen 16 or 17. I've gone through on Netflix and seen all of the seasons previous to that.
Yeah. I actually cut my 70-something-year-old mother watching it.
Hooked on Top Gear, really?
Yeah, it's not hooked on it, but she watched it with me and liked it. It's not...
It's a great show. I love it.
Yeah, you don't
it.
Have to be, like, a big gearhead to
appreciate it at all.
A fun, fun show.
Yeah, they do all these wacky challenges with cars and things, and it's really about the personalities.
Exactly, yeah.
And those guys are nuts.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. But other than that, it's just kind of a weird mix. Like, here's Lucy season 5.
Right, and then Pac-Man, the cartoon series.
Right. From the early 90s or late 80s.
Yeah, which was a bad choice then. And
yeah, a lot of documentary stuff, some weird 70s cult erotica type things, a bunch of documentaries. So, I mean, check it out. There could be something there that, you know, we're not picking up on that you would find incredibly interesting. And as always, you know, DVD Verdict benefits from you just spending time looking through these links on Amazon.com. And if you purchase something, we get a kickback. So we would appreciate the help. All right. Switching over to streaming media. Netflix has this is amazing. It has a metric ton, and I am not kidding, of music releases coming out on February 29th. Everything from the Beatles, the Grateful Dead, the Doors, Rush, Elton John, wow. Ray Charles, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Queen, Nirvana, Fleetwood Mac, Sex Pistols, Leonard Skinner, Tori Amos. I mean, I could go on for days.
You have to say the next one on your list for me and Oscar Schlager.
Neil Diamond. Isaac Hayes, Phil Collins, Diana Krall, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Seriously, if you ever, if there's any band that you like that has a music documentary on DVD, it's going to be on Netflix this week.
Very
so you could
cool.
spend a lot of time. If you love 80s TV, you've got Magnum P.I., you've got Quincy Medical Examiner, which is one of your favorite shows, Miami Vice, Knight Rider, The Hoff, Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories. Mm-hmm. And if you're a fan of NBC's Parenthood, you've got Craig T. Nelson's series Coach.
Cool.
Which was set at the University of Iowa.
Yeah.
Movies, David Bowie's The Man Who Fell to Earth. If you like Godzilla, there's Godzilla vs. Monster Zero from 1965. One of my favorite cheesy movies of all time, the Bee Gees version of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club
nice.
Band with George Burns. Weird, wacky movie, but the music is incredible. I mean, we mentioned Earth, Wind, and Fire. They have a tune in there. Aerosmith has a tune in there. Just the adaptations of some of the Beatles songs
right.
by these great bands are in that film for a crappy, crappy film. Over on Hulu, it's kind of a wasteland this week. There's not a lot of new stuff. Rob Marshall's Chicago, which was a brilliant adaptation
it
of
really
that stage play.
It really was well done.
If you like me and you've never seen Morgan Spurlock's documentary, Supersize Me, that's available on Hulu this week.
Everybody needs to see it. That should be one of the whole, like, to be an American, you have to see this picture.
Right.
That should be on the list.
And the lost films of Laurel and Hardy, which were some very early pictures for the Hal Roach Studios that they did.
Very cool.
So if you're a fan of those vintage comedies. Over on Amazon Instant, you get all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases as they street. I never made this connection, but there's a French comedy, spy comedy, called OSS 117, Cairo Nest of Spies. And I think there's a couple OSS 117s.
Oh.
So it's a French take on James Bond.
Okay.
And kind of a James Bond meets Inspector Clouseau. But it's Michelle H.
Okay, here's, I'm going to save you.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
It's the guys from The Artist.
Right. These guys.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
So go check that out. Sean William Scott has a new movie out called The Goon, which is about semi-pro hockey. It's coming to video on demand and DVD the same week.
Oh, okay.
It's from the guys who did Pineapple Express and Superbad.
No, that may not be too bad then.
Weird stuff like Brad Pitt's 7 Years in Tibet,
okay,
which is a biopic. Miley Cyrus's The Last Song. And Bruce Lee's Fists of Fury, if you like.
Nice.
Vintage chop sake.
Miley Cyrus, Bruce Lee, a little something for everybody.
That's right. All right, I'm going to shut up. I'll hand it over to you.
Go watch your stream and stuff because there's not much exciting on TV this week. But there are two new shows premiering in, you know, end of February, and we have more coming in March, which is like, how do we have room for these shows on television?
Yeah, it just seemed like they keep announcing coming soon, a series premiere.
Yeah, I think we're kind of full up. But Thursday night, NBC Awake, which I'm actually looking forward to.
Which we talked about before, the Jason Isaacs.
And then Sunday on ABC, it's now called GCB, which before that it was called Good Christian Bells.
Okay.
And before that it was called Good Christian Bitches.
Okay. This is a replacement for Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
At least it looks
So it's going to be on after it, and because Desperate Housewives is ending this season. I think, this is what they're trying. And it's Leslie Bibb, who goes back home to Dallas and has to deal with all the bitches. Even though they pretend to be good Christian that she grew up with, you know, and kind of make her life a living hell again now as an adult.
Annie Potts plays her mom.
Yeah, and Kristen Chenoweth is in it. So
yeah, that's kind of
I'm not too looking forward to it, but Kristen's so amazing to see. If they let her sing, I'll totally watch it.
It just looks like it has a Suburgatory vibe, because you've been watching repeats of Suburgatory.
Yeah, kind of like a grown-up Suburgatory.
This weird
and
characters.
It kind of the hope floats. She's disgraced and she has to go home and live with her mother.
Okay.
And whatever. So
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Music this week. There's a whole bunch of different stuff coming out. Celtic Thunder, which is the guys' version.
Oh, Celtic Women is the other. Yeah,
like
okay.
On PBS and stuff, but they have a new CD.
They're not strippers, right?
No.
The Thunder Down Under,
wrong country. Wrong country there. They have a new CD coming out called Voyage.
Okay.
Lyle Lovett has a new CD.
No kidding.
Of new music called Release Me.
Huh.
And talking about new music, the Cranberries.
Shut up.
Really, new music CD called Roses.
Wow.
And then for those TV and soundtrack fans, Doctor Who Series 6.
Oh, sweet Murray Jesus, Gold's thank you very much.
It's finally coming out.
It's been available in the UK forever, and now we finally get it. Good, because it's a good year of music from Murray Gold.
Yeah, yeah. So
even though I didn't like his score to Torchwood's Miracle Day, because I found it very boring.
Well, everything about Torchwood's Miracle Day was like, ugh. I know.
But that's coming to DVD soon, so we'll be talking about that in a few weeks.
Well, I got a lot to say. Let's see. In literature,
yes,
my favorite author has a new book.
Who?
Jonathan Kellerman.
Oh. Is it one of his classic characters?
It's an Alex Delaware.
All right.
Which are his books I love. His other books are good, but his Alex Delaware books are my favorites.
Okay.
It's called Victims. And it's like a thriller mystery book.
But they're based here in Los Angeles,
yeah,
right?
And it's really neat since, you know, I've lived at different times in L.A. He talks about the streets and the areas and stuff, which is interesting. The main character, Alex Delaware, is a child psychologist who works with the police on cases. Mm. And his best friend is a police officer who kind of pulls him in to help. And it's a very Sipowitz kind of character, it's described.
Yeah.
But he's gay.
Ah.
So it's interesting characters, smart writing. Yeah. So anyhow, that's out in hardcover. I recommend it. Another one, Michael Ian Black.
Oh.
It's going to be funny, but it's not just a comedy book. It's a memoir. You're Not Doing It Right. Tales of Marriage, Sex, Death, and Other Humiliations.
Jeez. And now that he has an Expedia commercial, he's really made the big time.
So, in my book, he made the big time with State.
Oh, I know. So, he's been fantastic for a long time.
Quick theater, something I'm a little bit excited about. Mm. Porgy and Bess is on stage right now.
Oh, really?
The revival. With Audra McDonald.
Oh, my God.
Who, those of you not into theater will know from Private Practice.
That's true.
But those of you who are into theater just know Audra McDonald. She's top Broadway star.
Well, and we were talking about Brian Stokes Mitchell being on Glee. She played opposite him in Ragtime on Broadway.
Right, right. But she's in it. Norm Lewis is in it. And David Alan Greer.
Oh, wow.
Is. But the news from this opened a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
They are going to record a cast album.
Sweet.
And it's Gershwin music.
Yeah.
So
it's a great score.
Yeah. If you're into, again, theater at all, this is something you're going to want to keep your eye out for. And I'll mention it when it actually comes out.
Okay.
We got some news happening.
We do have some news. We're in pilot season here in Los Angeles. So Roland Emmerich is creating an ABC drama for Martin Landau.
Sweet.
Now, Martin's no spring chicken.
No.
So this is going to be interesting to see how this works.
I'm surprised it's not on CBS.
Yeah, there's not a lot of talk about it. Yeah, right. There's not a lot of talk about what they're kind of keeping it under wraps in terms of what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Another casting.
Yeah.
Gregory Peck's grandson, Ethan Peck.
Oh.
Is going to the CW. He was on 10 Things I Hate About You, the TV show.
Not the movie. Okay.
He's going to star in The Selection, which is kind of a Hunger Games-ish.
Big surprise.
Set in the future. Yeah, but it's based on upcoming book franchise.
All right.
But so that's other casting news.
All right. Abby Elliott may be leaving SNL.
No.
If she gets...
well, good for her.
If she gets her comedy for Fox gets picked up. So that's a big if. David Wayne is working on talking about The State and Michael Ian Black. He's working on a sequel to Wet Hot American Summer.
Nice.
Did you see that one?
Mm-mm.
It's very funny. Very twisted kind of 70s.
I missed it. It's on my list.
We missed another big casting news. Lily Tomlin has been cast as Reba McEntire's mom.
Oh.
In a new comedy for ABC, which finds Reba being the Nashville mom with three kids, divorcing her rock star husband and moving to Malibu to live with her mother, played by Lily Tomlin.
Twist on her old show, which was very good. It had a great cast.
Yeah.
But Lily Tomlin, that's amazing.
That's big stuff.
Wow.
The other big news is that Lionsgate, which just bought Summit Entertainment, who owns the Twilight franchise, wants to keep the Twilight franchise alive by making another movie after Breaking Dawn Part 2 ends. So they want to keep milking it for what they've got, got. Because the books end with Breaking Dawn, right?
Yeah. Like, this is done.
So they want to keep it going.
Ugh. It's like freaking Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal.
Yeah.
They kind of made
Harris
write a new book.
Yeah.
Made by giving him mass amounts of money.
Right, exactly. Let's put a dump truck up here.
Made him write, you know, Hannibal.
Yeah. Crap.
And that turned out complete crap.
Yeah.
Like, just, it was the most ridiculous book ever written, just about.
All right, that's all the news I've got.
All right, well, quick Kardashian.
Yeah.
It looks like Ray J, who is Brandy's brother.
Okay.
Who is a musician, singer,
and whatever. Was this the sex tape guy?
In his own. This is the sex tape guy with Kim Kardashian. All this right. is also Whitney Houston's boyfriend before
what?
He died. Yeah. So he's choosing this moment to write a book.
Nice.
Because he has so much class.
Oh, God.
But I guess in it, he talks about a girl he dated, and he uses the initials KK. Like, right, to cover it, to be, sweet. You know, have some ethics, whatever. But talks about how she cheated with him on her ex-husband, because Kim was married when she was really young, like before she started dating Ray J.
Oh.
So he's claiming, basically, Kim was having an affair with him when she was married before.
What
and, of course, she's denying it all.
What but, a train wreck.
Yeah, but really classy, Ray J.
That'll do it for us this week. We are kind of on overload because we live tweeted the Oscars. So if you want to go over to DVDverdict.com, no, if you want to go over to Twitter.com /DVDverdict, you can look and make sense of what we were talking about there. What do you got going out for us tonight?
That's my time. Thank you for yours.